Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, the crew is all together now. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick has made his way to the table. Chase McCabe, we're live here. Pete and Terry's Tavern. Tonight it's the Predators and Senators. 7 o'clock puck drop pregame at 6. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. You know, on Tuesdays at this time, we speak with David Poyle, Predators General Manager. He's brought to you every week by Gary Force Acura, Cool Springs, Wines, and Spirits. David, the trade deadline is over. The smoke has cleared. And hopefully you got a good night's sleep.
I did, and I'm very, very clear today. I'm glad it's over. It's been very stressful the time the last 2 or 3 weeks when you're leading up to this, and our club is fighting for a playoff spot, and there's a lot of good things are happening with our club and some of the individuals, and then there's some things you'd like to improve. So you're kind of all over the map, if you will, in terms of should you stay the same? Should you make a minor deal? Should you make a big deal? All of those things sort of have been in my mind the last 2 or 3 weeks. But for sure, our team is getting more wins than losses. It seems like more individuals are living up to their expectations. And obviously, I think we're only 1 or 2 points out of the playoffs. I guess if things went right in the right direction tonight, we would be in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. I guess the bottom line is after thorough discussions with all the GMs and our hockey staff, and specifically some of the leaders on our team and John Hines, our coach, that I just felt that this was the best shape our team has been in a long time. And if you go back to the beginning of the year when we all felt that we had a team that could compete with the best teams in the league and certainly be a team that's going to make the playoffs and then have a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup, I really feel that we're getting closer to that again. So, right now we didn't do anything except a small trade to change the bottom pair of our defense. I'm hoping that we start playing like we thought we were for the team at the beginning of the season. And if we do that, we'll certainly make the playoffs. And then you never know what will happen after that.
The league was very active. You were not active, especially to your standards, what you've been at the trade-in deadline. Was it something wasn't right for you, or was it just quiet on your end? I mean, did you have a lot of juice on your phone at 2 o'clock yesterday, or was your battery low?
Well, honestly, my battery was low. Okay. I don't think that's the bottom line here. We weren't really active to be a big seller. We weren't looking for the big deal, or even in talking in concepts to different teams. There was no big deal that was being presented to us, and maybe that was us not being as creative as we should have been. I think as we moved along, we were in a position basically to hold or to get the value for the players that we set. And that's one of the things that we do all the time, is to try to say, well, if we're going to trade player X, what do we either need back, or what would we accept back? And at the trading deadline, it's a little bit different because it may not be a hockey trade. It might be for draft picks or younger players, because most of the deals are that form, if you will. And obviously, by not doing anything, meaning if I would have cut back draft choices, our team would have been weaker today than it currently is. So you weigh a couple of draft choices against what we have right now, and bottom line is, the decision is that I chose to stay with what we have.
You had back-to-backs on Friday and Saturday. When you left here Saturday night, 8-round shootout, 2 points, a win over Columbus. What was your mindset leaving here Saturday night in preparation for Monday?
Well, it took me a little bit of time for my heart to reset after the eight rounds of the shootout. That was, I always kid around everyone. I was saying, someday I will be a fan, and it must be unbelievably exciting. I don't know. It wasn't necessarily for the GM, but again, I'm trying not to, I'm not being my career, my job, trying not to make decisions on, on a game-by-game basis. I mean, I don't think that's the right thing to do. So I think a manager always has to have that vision of, you know, down the road. I mean, even for me, more so than this year, it's almost like next year. Like, I know coming today and some of the things I've been working on today are 3 or 4 years down the road. That's how quickly it changes. So, I mean, competitiveness that we all have in ourselves, I mean, to make the playoffs is always significant. I mean, only half the teams make the playoffs. And, I mean, we're one of the few teams that have made the playoffs for 5 years in a row or 6 years in a row, whatever it might be. So there's, whether that's the competitiveness, whether that's your ego, probably a little bit of both, to be, you know, honest. And again, just the fact that our team, you know, is coming off of a couple hundred point seasons, the Stanley Cup Finals. I know you can't live in the past and things changed. If guys either get better or they get worse, nothing stays the same. We've had the same, pretty much the core of the same team. And I don't know, I just still feel it. It's there somewhere. I mean, I think a lot of individuals could play better in these last 21 games. And if they rise up to the level that they can play in, then our team is going to rise up and we're going to not only make the playoffs, we got a chance to do better things.
David, the answer is 5, but the answer in a month and a half needs to be 6. There you go.
There you go.
So
Thank you
talked to a lot of people. What you said, you spoke with a lot of people within the organization, the room yesterday. What did you get from the people you spoke to, and in particular, maybe the room and the head coach, that made you feel better about everything staying intact moving forward?
Well, to be clear, not the room yesterday. I think this is talking to more of the leadership of our team, you know, not yesterday, but in the last couple of weeks as to where we are. The coach, I had him participate a little bit in some of the things that we're doing in the last couple of days so that he was aware of the thought process. He was very influential because he thinks we've made a lot of progress. He hasn't been here very long, and there's a lot of things that needed to be straightened out or done his way, which he has. And he really felt that we're a playoff team. He really felt that we were getting better and that we were going to continue to get better. I guess I would be foolish if I didn't take that into consideration.
We're talking to David Poile, Nashville Predators general manager, and David, you had three guys that were getting talked about a lot who are potential free agents. One of them you locked up yesterday in Rocco Grimaldi. He is a guy that the fans continue to seem to gravitate towards. And he had, of course, the big moment on Saturday night in the shootout. But you now have a new 2-year commitment for him. We had a chance to talk to him yesterday. It's a great story.
It's absolutely a fantastic story. As I said, two years ago, he comes here on a two-way contract, been with a couple of other organizations and never was able to stick, and always been sent down to the minors. And I mean, I heard some of the things that he said too, that he was actually thinking a couple more years or I'm going to go to Europe or I'm not going to do this anymore. So the good news is that he just got focused in. He has a more complete game. I think he understands what he needs to do to be successful. I think sometimes when you're a younger player, and Rocco was a pretty high draft pick, you think you can play the game a certain way and have success, and it wasn't working for him, and thank goodness that he had the maturity and the vision to fit into the, I guess you'd say, a team concept and a way to play that would correctly allow him to be successful. So I love the story, and it was, as I said yesterday, it was a well-earned contract. So that's one of the highlights of the year for sure.
The other two guys that are potential free agents, Mikhail Granlin and Craig Smith, are both playing really, really well right now. What is your mindset going forward with them in terms of beyond this year? Or is it just simply, just let's play this year and see where it goes?
At the moment, it's just play and see where it goes. But we have had decent lines of communication in terms of, you know, the possible ability for us and them to, again, enter into a contract. And, again, it's not perfect. I mean, there's you know, cap implications. Roman Josi's contract goes up to $9 million next year. And, you know, we're going to have some cap issues or what have you, but again, you got to love the way that Smitty's been playing on with Bonino and Grimaldi, and Granlin has arguably been one of our top players in the last couple of months. So if there's a will, there's a way, and the more success we have as a team and as they have as individuals, probably gives us both an opportunity to want to try to stay together.
One thing you talk about, John Hines saying, I feel like we're making progress. One thing you can see statistically, Pekka and Juuse Saros seem to be trending in the right direction, both of them, and the defense around them seems to be they get more comfortable, it seems like, with every game on how they're going to play in front of them.
Yeah, a big change in that area where I think we felt ourselves in starting the year. If you remember, we got off to that really good start, and I know we're scoring 5 goals every game, and it was fun, but I don't think we were really paying a lot of attention or detail to the defensive part of the game, and I truly believe that was one of the changes that happened, is that kind of caught up to us when we started losing, is that we still were scoring at a decent rate, but we were really giving up a lot. And so, I mean, John's obviously tried to rein that in a little bit. Offensively, we're down a bit from where we were with Peter Laviolette. And again, as a well-rounded team and a team to be really successful, we need to have both. I mean, so gotta be greedy here every day. Okay, great, you took care of this area. now we have these guys that can do this, and you know our scoring is down. Our top guys are all down a little bit, but that was happening before the coaching change. And if there's anything that I'd like to see happen in this last 21 games as we push towards the playoffs, is our top dogs getting in there and you know. Providing more offense without giving up the defense.
President General Manager David Poile is here with us. Aren't you glad that we don't have to ask you when is Ryan Ellis coming back? Because now he's back in the lineup and he's looked pretty good over the course of the last couple games.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I think we said last week, that is our best trading deadline acquisition. I mean, we've already seen in a couple of games. I think Ryan makes Yossi better and vice versa. And obviously a lot of minutes, and it probably pushes everybody down and gets everybody in the right seat on the bus, if you will, for the defense. And maybe with the small change here with Holzer coming in and with our penalty killing, a little bit more physicality, maybe we can be a little bit better there too. So it's all good. But Ryan's we're probably not going to have a good finish here if we don't have Ryan Ellis back. And now I think our team gets much more confidence now that he's back in the lineup.
Is Holzer here?
He is here.
Is he going to be?
He's practicing this morning. I'm not sure he's going to play today, but he didn't get here till like 12:30, 1 o'clock last night on the red eye or what have you. So I think just probably I have to talk to John, but I believe he will just skate today and watch, and I'm sure he'll get into the next game.
You also have some younger players that we've gotten to see Trennan some this year. He's in Milwaukee, had the hat trick the other day. We all know about Rem Pitlick, who came in last year, Ellie Tolvanen. What's the progress with those guys? And, you know, do you have a timetable of when you'd like to see them possibly get a chance up here?
I am sure, based on good play, poor play, knock on wood, possibly injuries or what have you, that, you know, there's going to still have to be some change. We have 23 players, but that's not a lot. And, you know, when you're trying to make the playoffs and in a schedule that has 3 games in 4 days and a lot of back-to-back games, so I think you'll probably see guys in Trennan, and certainly is a guy that is deserving to come up here and buy for a regular position. I'm with you and mentioning like Pitlick or could be a defenseman. If we need to, if our guys are not playing well, you know, there is no more trades, so we have to use the players within our organization. But I would be very comfortable to give these guys an opportunity. So, you know, the 23 guys are here. We've got their positions, they're in the lineups, but we're not going to wait too long if guys aren't playing well.
David, in your years of doing this and around this time of year, you know, I've talked to some of the players that, look, it's a tough time of year. You don't know if you're staying or going, or the guy next to you staying or going.
Right.
Have you noticed a big difference in your locker rooms of when this time passed, of, okay, now that stress is gone, we can have tunnel vision and focus on the last 20 games?
You know, absolutely, and there's been so much talk about our team and at the trade deadline and how things could go. I mean, I'm sure there's 5 or 6 players in our room today that are, well, I hope they're relieved and happy to be here, but, you know, could have easily been traded. So I get that. You know, I did talk to one guy and he was sort of saying, thank you for not, I was just down by the locker, thank you for not trading me. We really like it here. And I said, good, we'll just play good these last 21 games. So, no, it's got to be really tough on the families and wives and guys that have kids and stuff like that. And I do believe that they all want to be here. That's the thing. I think we have some unfinished work to do. So I get that, and I'm glad if I've made some people happy and their lives more comfortable. That's great.
What did you think about what happened in Toronto Saturday night with the emergency backup goalie?
Well, I have all sorts of thoughts. First of all, it's again, I use a fan analogy. If I was a fan, it's the greatest thing in the world, and how cool is this? And I mean, who wasn't cheering for Carolina, and how what a bonding night that was for their organization. If you're there's a team that's on the bubble for making the playoffs, right. I mean, that type of thing is might just take you into the playoffs. Their coach, Rob Brendamore, was fantastic after the game, and he hit the nail on the head when he made his remarks to the team after the game, saying how this is why we're in the game. It's to create memories, and we all got a memory created for all of us. Well, this will be part of us for forever. So that's so cool. Now, the flip side is I'm a general manager, and the way the Toronto fans, media, what they said about the Maple Leafs and their coach and their players and their general manager was, yeah. You know, you don't wish that on your biggest enemy, if you will. So there's always two sides to everything, but again, it was such a cool thing. So yeah.
It couldn't have happened at a worse place because of the spotlight, right? I mean, it, you know, in Toronto, I mean, you can imagine what the last 48 hours, 72 hours have been. Them talking about that. I mean, I'm sure they haven't even moved on past that.
So I don't know if the listeners know this, but every team has to have a...
I was just about to ask what the rule is.
Yeah.
Every team has to have an EBUG, which stands for Emergency Backup Goalie. And so you could imagine, too, there's probably... And so we have one, and we have three guys on our list that are local men that play hockey at, and have
Not
played hockey
Chris
at some
Mason.
Level. It can't be Chris Mason because
I've had about 15 texts asking if it's Chris Mason.
It can't be Chris Mason because he's an employee of the club.
Okay.
And the reason why it can't be is because the bug goes in for either the home team or the visiting
right.
team.
Correct.
So the league would think there's some conflict in that. So we have three guys on our list, and they've practiced with us on occasion when, you know, Peck or Saros needs a day off or what have you. So there's one of them that's here every game and has got his equipment, and he's ready to go.
Do you scout them? Like, do they have to pass? I mean, obviously they have to. You have to envision them being in an NHL game and being able to hold their own, right?
But it's happened 2 years in a row, right? Yeah. So it's kind of a big deal. It's not like you can say, well, it hasn't happened in 50
years.
Well,
last night Columbus lost the first goalie, and you were thinking, oh, well, the guy's got to saddle up. Yeah, the guy was getting his gear on just in case.
Well, they have to live in Nashville.
you're working with that pool of people.
Yeah, so,
right.
You know, you might think that maybe Toronto has a better goalie than maybe Florida.
Or Columbus or Tampa.
That type of thing. So it's not perfect, but it's necessary. And, you know, again, I'm sure that these young guys come to the game every night and thinking, I hope this is my night. if I get in, but
do you put an ad? Like, is there basically? Do you hold tryouts for this spot?
Well, yeah, we need
a guy. Everybody's got to have a guy.
I'm here to apply
like
for
said,
the e-bug.
But it's like you said, it's not for everybody. You guys wouldn't show up if there was an ad in the paper to go
you
do that.
You know that I might.
Yeah. No,
you
so we
win the job.
Nah, mm-hmm. I wouldn't.
So we've been here for a few years, and this is a relatively new thing. So contacts in all the minor hockey here or what have you. So there's. You know, there's some candidates, but yes, Ben Vanderklok, our goalie coach, goes out on the ice with these guys in the summer or what have you, and to the best of his ability, he picks, you know, in this case, three guys. Because they don't come to all the games because they all have jobs or what have you, but it's kind of a rotating situation.
So you've got one guy in place every home game.
Every home game.
Of those three candidates.
He comes in, he's got his equipment in the trunk of his car, or he brings it. I don't know if he brings it into the dressing room, so it's ready, and then we have his number, or he sees what he's watching the game, and if he sees somebody goes down, we call him immediately and come down to the dressing room. I think there's been some times where a goalie's gotten hurt here, either home or away, where he's been down to the room, and he's probably in the midst
preparing,
of putting on his equipment. Yeah.
Huh. So hypothetically, like if something happened 2 hours before the game, you can't get somebody from Milwaukee in that amount of time. Do you have to use one of those three guys, or could that be a situation where, hey, Mace, you're not calling the game tonight. You're backing up whoever.
Mace could not do it.
Have to use those guys.
We have to use those guys, exactly.
As long as, because if he's an employee of the team, then he's out. That's how it works.
That's right, exactly.
Interesting. David, good stuff. Thanks for stopping by. Hope you continue to rest easy. Yeah, we did learn a lot. Now, hopefully this is going to be a good week.
It's going to be a good week. No doubt about it.
I like it. David Poile, general manager of the Predators. We always look forward to his conversations with us on Tuesdays. He's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. We'll come back with more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.